The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you can hang out with us on this Wednesday afternoon because we have an awful lot of news to talk about. Studio audience, you fired up? You ready to go?
Let's go, Brandon!
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 All right.
Let's go, Brandon!
All right, gotta admit, you guys are getting me fired up. All right, quiet down, quiet down. I got a radio show to do here. Okay, let's begin with The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
Yeah, I've been telling you for a long time that this was coming.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Yeah, here we come. We're vaccinating all the kids, or they're going to try to vax your children. We've certainly been getting those messages today and yesterday. Yesterday, Joe Biden said that we have already bought all of the vax that we need for children 5 to 11 years old. Today, Walensky, the head of the CDC, she says that it is time to start vaccinating children. They are all set to go. Dr. Rochelle Walensky says after the kids are vaccinated, they will still have to wear masks at school.
You know, after we have authorization from FDA and recommendations from CDC, we will be working to scale up pediatric vaccination. That said, it will take some time. And as I just noted, as we head into these winter months, we know we cannot be complacent. We also know that from previous data that schools that have had masks in place were 3.5 times less likely to have school outbreaks requiring school closure. So right now we are going to continue to recommend masks in all schools for all people in those schools. And we will look forward to scaling up pediatric vaccination during this period of time.
And closer to home, director of the Office of Superintendent Chris Rakedal, he told Fox 13 News this morning that they are very excited to vaccinate your children.
Well, it's great news. We've been anticipating it for a while. It's nice to see it coming together here. In our state, 5 to 11-year-olds are going to get this option soon. Between probably 5 and 600,000 students will be eligible very, very soon.
Okay, and I just absolutely disagree with this. I always believed in getting my kids the flu shot because kids have a much higher death rate from the flu than they do COVID-19. And so you don't have to be anti-vax. You don't have to be anti-anything. What I have said all along is every single individual needs to make a risk versus reward decision for themselves and for their kids. And I've looked at this every which way you can, and I can see no way that the reward of vaccinating kids is greater than the risk. So if my girls were still that age, I would choose not to do it. But this is going to be a tremendous problem for the parents who have arrived at the same conclusion, that they don't want to vax their kids. Because in California, they've made it mandatory for both public and private schools. So now kids will have to either comply, or parents will have to comply with another government dictate, or you're not going to be able to send your kid to school in Washington. Rakedal says it is going to be tough logistically.
It's logistically a lot tougher with littles because you've got a parent that's got to coordinate a schedule with them. So some schools will host clinics. They're working that out right now, deciding if that's something their community will really support in volume. But a whole lot more of this for 5 to 11-year-olds is going to come through pediatricians and doctors' offices. There's already a vaccine expectation there. There's a relationship that they've built. They get that good counsel from a medical provider. So we expect a whole lot more of the vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds to go through pediatricians than we did, say, for our 12 to 18-year-olds.
You know, I just thought of something. I never was bothered by needles, even when I was a little kid. Needles just didn't bother me. But I remember, do you remember this? At my elementary school, I was about 6 years old, and they gave us some kind of a vax. I don't remember what it was, but the person administering it was on the stage in the auditorium, and all the kids were standing in a line across the stage, down the stairs, up the aisleway, but they didn't give it to you via a shot. I don't know why I'm just thinking about this now. It just crossed my mind when he was talking about how logistically difficult. They said that this was going to be much less painful, and I was really young. This was a long time ago, but I believe it was some kind of an air gun. And they pushed this air gun up to your skin, and all of a sudden, you know, like those pneumatic nailers. That's kind of what it sounded like. And it was, needles never bothered me. But this thing was like getting punched in the arm. And that's what made me. And then they never used it again that I remember. And I'd remember because it was lousy. But do you remember that? If you're around my age, remember the time? I didn't even think about it till just now. Otherwise, I would have looked up pneumatic shot injector. But, oh, that was awful. Anyway, the needles are fine. Oh, and they said that for the children, the needles are going to be half the size of the ones they've been using to inject adults. So will it be mandated this year, this school year?
For this next year, at least, we don't anticipate a vaccine mandate for school-age children. There's a long process that it goes through. There's a State Board of Health that has a big role in that. That process is underway. They're looking at the evidence. But remember, this is not even authorized yet, and it's going to be authorized under emergency use. And so until it gets full authorization, I wouldn't expect it to be a mandate. So,
okay, I want to pause. It will be authorized under emergency use. And remember, Jay Inslee has declared this a now 20-month emergency. This has been one of the longest emergencies ever. And so they do have extra constitutional power. Jay Inslee claims, and we're going to see because there's going to be a ton of lawsuits with all the people who were fired yesterday. But Jay Inslee claims that being under emergency rule, we become more helpless and he becomes far more powerful. And I think that he's very excited about that, too. So it will be an emergency mandate that gets the shots into your kids as well, he says.
For the very foreseeable future, this is really about families saying, I want to keep my kids safe, my family safe, my community. We think there'll be a huge uptake at first. And just like the vaccine for adults, it kind of waned for a while after that and slowed down. So we hope it's a good response. Nothing mandatory about this, no requirement. But again, I would encourage folks to do it just based on the science and the great effectiveness that we've seen so far.
Okay, what effectiveness is that? Because people who are vaxxed are getting COVID every day. People who are vaxxed are giving COVID every day. And for the kids, they aren't getting sick from COVID. So why do we need to protect them again against something that doesn't make 99% of them sick at all? Why do we need to inject something artificial from a pharmaceutical company into a child who is at almost zero risk from the thing they're getting supposedly protected against? Follow the money. Oh, because believe me, the pharmaceutical companies, they are thrilled with all of this. They are thrilled at getting all this extra money flowing in. That was the next untapped market. It's our children. And that's a way that this can remain a growth model for them for the foreseeable future. Because the boosters, you know, they say you're going to need a booster, you're going to need two, maybe three, maybe four boosters. And they're going to keep pumping this in to us. Pfizer says today that they expect to have a double Pfizer shot for children 5 to 11 years old before Christmas. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is deciding whether to authorize Pfizer's COVID-19 shot in younger kids. The White House has already said it has plans to get the kids vaccinated. And they are now pushing for a Christmas timeline to get your children double vaccinated at pediatrician offices and vaccination sites that will be set up all around the nation. I'll ask it again, because maybe your view is evolving with each day. But are you going to get your kids vaxxed? Are you going to sign them up for this? Because we can all make a risk-reward decision for ourselves. Our kids can't. They rely on the good sense of their parents. And I'm getting lots of feedback on this from the 425. This is not an emergency, especially for kids. Come on. Well, yeah, but they have to call it that, or else they're not going to be able to mandate that injection into your child. They have to call it an emergency. 907 just says, get the jab. I'm getting lots. I'm going to have to sift through all of these. Somebody remembers the shotgun that I was talking about from 360. When I entered the Army in 1977, they had the pneumatic shotguns. I had to get several shots, and when I finished at the end of the gauntlet of shots, blood was dripping off my fingertips of both hands. It was really cool. LOL. Oh, man. Well, okay, I'll keep reading all of your emails here, or text messages. Text line is 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. And then one other. Somebody texted, you, meaning me, you sound like all the other anti-vaxxers. How? When I'm vaccinated, when I tell you as adults, I think it's a good idea for you to be vaccinated, and when I tell you that as I've looked at this for children, I've reached a conclusion that the risk is greater than the reward. How does that make somebody an anti-vaxxer? And I will always fight back against that, because this is this new tool to try to shut up anybody who doesn't just do what government tells us to do. We do what we're told. No. You don't have to be an anti-vaxxer to say that there is no statistical medical reason for children to get vaccinated. That's just doesn't make any sense. There's no logic to that whatsoever. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead update.
Yeah, now we're starting to see how many people have been fired by Jay Inslee in the last day or so. Right now, they say that they've fired 1,887 state employees. Another 1,900 received an accommodation, but they're not going to, or they received an exemption, but they're not going to be accommodated. Nearly 2,900 more are still in what they call a state of flux, meaning they may have more time to get the vaccine. They could be retiring. They could be waiting to see if they're going to be getting an accommodation to still do their jobs. So 92 are vaccinated. 8% of 120,000 is about 9,600. And so that's the number of people who are facing firing, termination, early retirement. It's taken a lot of people off the government rolls there. And for those people who are forced into it against their will, I feel bad for them. But that's a big number, and that's just at the state level. That doesn't count Seattle Police. It doesn't count King County Sheriff or other departments. And it is interesting that other police agencies and fire departments around the state are doing just fine without a vaccination mandate. But just in Seattle and King County is it being mandated. And Jay Inslee has some statewide mandates, of course, as well. But those are the latest numbers. We could have as many as 10,000 people out of work. And all of this, we're losing hundreds and hundreds of members of law enforcement as things are getting just more dangerous and more deadly around here. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
The last thing you do when crime is going up so fast and so far and so deadly is you get rid of police officers. Every city that's done defund the police, strangely, has seen crime go up. And Seattle is one of the most notorious in both areas. How much we've defunded, how many we've defunded, and then how much the crime has increased. And it's throughout the entire region. Down in Pierce County, in Puyallup, A suspect is on the run as we speak after shooting and killing a man in an SUV about 1:15 this morning. Witnesses heard shots, saw someone running away, a man in his 40s dead in the front seat of a small SUV. They have not been able to find that suspect. In Mukilteo, a man in his 20s was found dead in the backyard of a home. And this is a neighborhood that does not have crime like this. But this family, they discovered a dead man in the backyard of their home 5:30 yesterday afternoon, just the middle of a fall day, and their bodies all around this region. On Aurora Avenue last night, a 21-year-old woman was shot in the leg in a drive-by. Police are not going into detail about what led up to the shooting. I will say it was on 97th and Aurora, which is a pretty notorious stretch for prostitution crimes. And then up in the Snohomish School District, if anybody up in Snohomish knows more about this, I would appreciate if you would text me, because everybody's being very tight-lipped about this. I contacted a couple of my sources up there, and everybody's been told to clam up. But I've heard from a couple of parents who say there's a lot more about this story that you need to know, Dory. There was an alleged sexual assault in a bathroom at Snohomish High School. And all I know is there have been multiple rumors on social media regarding the assault. We are certainly not going to repeat any rumors, and anything that we are told, we would have to independently verify and corroborate. But then there were a lot of people who said, yeah, you got to get to the bottom of this story, because there's a lot more going on. If you have any tips, any direction that you think we need to pursue, text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. The school district has confirmed that they're aware of the allegation of sexual assault at Snohomish High School, but they say there's a lot of misinformation, gossip, and rumor regarding the incident. So we're trying to get to the truth of it. If you can point us in a direction, we will corroborate and verify any tips that we get, but shoot them off to me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on CHIRO Radio.
Oh, we have so much more to come, including we have some polling now on what's going to happen in the Seattle mayor's race, Seattle city attorney, Seattle council. Is Seattle finally ready to try to get some sanity back in its politics? We'll talk about that and the politics of hatred. It's all straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Okay, I'm getting some new information on that torture device that Webster Elementary School used on my arm when they were injecting me with something. It was called a jet injector. And seriously, they build it. How could they possibly, in good conscience, have billed it as being less painful than a shot? Because, let's see, here's the wiki on it. A jet injector, also known as a jet gun injector, is a type of medical injecting syringe device. So it still injects a syringe? Oh, man. High-pressure stream of liquid penetrates the outermost layer of the skin. I thought it was like some transdermal forced it through the skin. What do I know?
It must have been a little bit like an ear gun for ear piercing.
Probably.
So it's supposed to be quick, and you don't have to look at the needle coming because you just have this gun pointed at you.
Yeah. And, oh, the sound, too, is a... Yeah, that's loud pneumatic sound, and as every kid was screaming, and when you're about 20 kids away, the weight was just torture. One step closer. One step closer. Oh, man.
Wow, you really had it rough.
Brutal. I did. You don't know half of it. Okay, let's see. I got a bunch of stuff to get to here. So Seattle election is coming up. I don't talk a lot about Seattle election stuff because most of our listeners don't live in Seattle, which means you can't vote, but a lot of you work in Seattle, and so it's still relevant to you. It looks like Bruce Harrell has a commanding lead over Lorena Gonzalez. Bruce Harrell, he's not a very gutsy man, but he's far superior as a candidate to Lorena Gonzalez. And so Bruce Harrell just, he will not come on with anybody who's going to challenge him on issues. But Lorena Gonzalez would be a disaster. So I'm glad to see Bruce Harrell. There's a brand new poll by the Northwest Progressive Institute. Harrell's at 48%, Lorena Gonzalez 32%. And then the most important one, Seattle City Attorney, this is good news. Ann Davison, who would prosecute misdemeanor crimes and put criminals in jail, she's at 43%. Nicole Thomas Kennedy, the abolitionist who would legalize shoplifting, car prowls, home break-ins, and not jail anybody for a misdemeanor, she's at 24%. So Ann Davison with a 19-point lead there. And then Teresa Mosqueda, she's a disaster. Kenneth Wilson, he seems like a good dude. But Teresa Mosqueda is up 39-31. Sarah Nelson, I really like. Businesswoman. And she's running against Nikita Oliver, a self-proclaimed Marxist. And it's close. It's within the margin of error. But Sarah Nelson's on top, 41-37. So it sounds like people are starting to come to their senses who live and vote in Seattle, that you're actually thinking about getting away from the radical. I mean, everybody's going to be left of center. But it sounds like the voters of Seattle, if this poll's accurate, are starting to lean away from the radicals who have so thoroughly tried to destroy a great city. So we'll keep you posted as that gets closer. One other issue that I'm very passionate about. You know, we've talked a lot about critical race theory. And critical race theory, it is a racist agenda. And we're seeing how it's manifesting itself because for about 40 years, Americans, year after year after year, said racial relations are getting better, getting better, getting better. And it's just been a 40-year increase of everybody feeling better about each other. And then the last 2 years, it's getting worse. It's getting way worse. We have an agenda that is racist by nature and is teaching people to not value others on the content of their character, but on the color of their skin. And let me tell you how that's manifesting itself now. So there was a high school football game in North Carolina. It was a public school against a private Christian school. Well, the public school, the cheerleaders, you know, they paint and then they hold up a banner that the football team runs through as they come out of the tunnel. And it's a huge banner. It looks like it's about, it's probably 12 feet by 15 feet. And it reads, "Sniff, sniff, you smell that? Privilege." And privilege is all in white paint with dollar signs on either side. It was nothing uplifting. It was just directing hatred at the other school because it was a private Catholic school. And obviously, people, cheer advisors, staffers at the school, they had to know what was being said. And it's as if making people hate each other is of a higher priority than bringing everybody together. They did a local news story about that.
I was really just shocked. My first reaction with other parents was, wow. It was disappointing and completely just taken way off guard that was allowed.
Melissa Swanson's reaction after she saw this sign held up by Butler cheerleaders at Friday's game against Charlotte Catholic. She says this sign that spelled out the word privilege in all white letters was upsetting and presumptuous.
Here we are at this school with a bunch of rich white kids that have it easy, is how I interpreted it.
Swanson is the single parent of a biracial son who's in the fourth grade at St. Gabriel Catholic School. She says the sign's message is far from her truth.
I'm a single mother, and I finance my child's education single-handedly with, you know, just my own hard work. It's not parent money. It's not anyone else's money but my own.
Okay, and here's what we need to get away from, or what we need to move back toward, I should say. We need to elevate everybody. But the new messaging is that if you have less of anything, then instead of let's finding a way to lift you up and make you better and get you opportunities, it's, hey, let's drag down the other side that we hate so much, that we've been taught to hate. Let's just, instead of building up our football team and saying something that's affirming and positive, let's just tell the other team that we hate them because they go to a private Catholic school. There's really dangerous times in which we live, and our kids should not be taught this kind of hatred. It's so corrosive. It is so damaging. Okay, quick time out here, and then coming up next at the fine folks at Campus Reform, they are all for diversity, except in one area. I'll tell you what it is. Can you guess? Next on the Dory Monson Show. I like the folks at Campus Reform, a bunch of young people who go around to colleges and universities showing their hypocrisy. I got a couple new ones for them. I'll save the one for a little later. But on this one, they were talking to students because one big buzzword now, of course, is diversity. And everybody is pushing for more diversity. And they asked the college students if they support diversity. Of course they do, except in one area where they don't want diversity.
If a population is 35% Hispanic, then the school in that region, I guess, would also have to be 35% Hispanic in its student population to reflect the demographics of the larger community. Is that something that you would support?
Yeah, I would support that.
Yeah, I totally support that.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah, same. I think it definitely should be taken into account.
Absolutely. There should be more diversity in basically every single field.
So what about diversity quotas on sports teams, college sports teams? Do you guys think?
No, I think that should be skill-based.
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing.
Same thing. We want to win no matter, like, what you are.
Probably not. I feel like it should be based off talent. That's something that's a little bit different.
With sports, it's definitely more emphasis placed on ability.
Sports is different than college. Sports is not the same. I mean, talent is talent is talent is talent.
I don't think we should. College sports is about, like, getting the best players for your team, and I don't think we should focus on which race or ethnicity to get.
I think a diversity quota for any sports team, it doesn't make much sense. It should be based on skill.
Just let the skill shine, and whoever's the best player deserves to be on the team.
Obviously, with sports, it's talent first over anything.
I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing that these people are just better at the sports that they play.
I mean, it'd definitely be different. When's the last time you saw a prominent Asian in football?
They're so woke when they're asked about college admission. And then when it comes to the football team, no. We are not for quotas there, because we want to win. Oh, man. So I guess even the woke crowd has their limitations these days. A couple other things that we got to get to here. I want to talk in depth next hour about the inflation crisis that is coming down. I told you yesterday that, you know, not only do we have $29 trillion in debt in this country, but right now, this afternoon, they are trying still to push through a multi-trillion dollar spending bill. And we just don't have the money. But that's what has caused inflation, was sending out checks. They were sending out checks last year, or earlier this year, to people making $100,000 a year. They said to stimulate the economy, and all it did was jacked up inflation, which is officially at 5.3%, but it's In reality, it's much, much higher than that, because that 5.3% number, that does not include food and gasoline. And Albertsons just admitted yesterday at a corporate meeting that they are going to have to raise prices significantly now because of the supply shortage and just because the cost to them is going up so fast. I talked to somebody, it was this last weekend, who lived in Venezuela, when they had hyperinflation. And he said it was crazy. You'd walk by the market and you'd see a bin of apples on sale for, you know, whatever the equivalent was. It was our dollars. It was 50 cents each. And then that afternoon, he would walk by the same basket and they changed the sign to say 75 cents each. Inflation made the fruit go up 50 cents in just a few hours. And that's what hyperinflation does. But it's the only way to get out of, you know, $29 trillion in debt. And I want to keep sounding this alarm. I know it's wonky. I know it's probably not the most popular topic. But right now, we're headed in that direction. And that'll just kill every family's budget, but especially the poor, the working class, the middle class, because you don't have a cushion. You know, the wealthy people, they can lose 25% of their income, and it doesn't change their ability to pay their bills. If you make 50, 60 grand a year and you lose 25% of your income to inflation, all of a sudden, instead of being paycheck to paycheck, you're going into debt every single week. And people have to stand against this. All the spending that's coming. And then the other number that I'll give you is we have committed $40 trillion in future Social Security payments that has no accounting for how where that money's going to come from, how it's going to come in. And if you want to know, I mentioned this yesterday, if you want to know how much money $40 trillion is, it's more than all the money on the planet. I mean that. If you take all the money that's in circulation in every country across the planet, and then every savings and checking and investment account, and you add all of that up, it will not come to $40 trillion. And right now, our official debt is $29 trillion. Our unofficial debt for unpaid for mandates of benefits, $40 trillion. And we have a president who just doesn't even know what's going on. He couldn't balance his own checkbook the way things are going for him today. So, perilous times. Sorry to be so heavy, but I need to sound the alarm. Check the news. Fast 15 coming up next.